turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. Bennett and I were talking one day. We were just sitting at the table and talking about various things that he needs to know and the things that I learned. And we talked through the Proverbs and we read through a few verses. And then I asked him eventually, I said, what would you like me to preach on when I finish Ephesians? And he said, how about Proverbs? I've never preached maybe on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but Proverbs is another treasury. But it's not a treasury like Ephesians where Paul just opens the door and he says, run into it. Start taking. It's right there. You can see it so clear. This is a treasury that's been buried. You have to go hunt for it. You have to think about it. It takes time. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time. I don't know how long yet. Maybe a week or two or 3 months for that matter. It could be. I don't know yet. Depends how I get moving into the flow of Proverbs. But Proverbs is one of those books that it's portable. It's a portable truth. They're pithy sayings that you can memorize pretty easily and keep in your mind. The very first proverb that I didn't ask Zoe if I could use this. May I? Your favorite proverb at one time. Proverbs 16:24. Portable truth that children can memorize and put to use. Proverbs 16:24. Zoe reminded me at a perfect time one time. She said, Father, remember, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And she was like 2 or 3 or 4 or something like that. And it was wisdom. She opened a treasury that I had thought about for a while. We had talked about that verse a lot. But it's a pithy saying intended for maximum impact. But it doesn't always hit all at one time. You have to think about it. But Proverbs has been called truth for youth. And we would be wise to teach our children the Proverbs, have them read through it. They need to know the Bible stories, but don't neglect the Proverbs. And maybe that's not just fitting to call it truth for youth, because in a broader sense, Proverbs is for everyone. We need the Proverbs. We need those wise sayings. We need that treasure unearthed. So what we're going to do is call this Proverbs truth for life. For every one of us, it's truth for life. And we know what its purpose is. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, it's for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. But he writes this, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline. So that's the whole purpose of what we're going to look at Proverbs over this week anyway, and next week probably, just that we might learn what does that mean. How do we attain wisdom and discipline? It's a perfect purpose statement. It's going to be the purpose of why we do what we do. But let's pray first. I don't want to run ahead and not pray, so let's seek the Spirit to give us grace that we might know the heart of God. Father in heaven, we pray that through the power of your Spirit, you would open up to our minds the truth of your word, the value of the Proverbs, that we would let these words sink deep into our hearts. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we were to study the Psalms, we'd be looking at it from the standpoint of Psalms teaches us the beauty of the relationship between man and God and God and man. But Proverbs tells us how to live a life pleasing to God, because it's one thing to know, it's one thing to claim to be a worshiper of God, but the Scripture is replete with reminders to tell us that if you truly love God or you're truly a worshiper of God, you're going to treat one another with love and respect and dignity and so forth. You're going to honor one another above yourselves. We read that in the New Testament. But the Proverbs tells us how to live, teaches us how to live life to the fullest, but with this in mind, a life that's pleasing to God. So we have to know our relationship with God. The Psalms tells us this and how we relate to Him, but then Proverbs teaches us how to live a life pleasing to God. But it doesn't mean it means that it has everything to do with how we treat one another most often. If you want to know how life is to be lived, Proverbs teaches us those things that please God. Now, Proverbs, as it says, our purpose is to attain wisdom and discipline. Well, what is wisdom? Now, in the Hebrew, the word is very picturesque, but it has in mind an artisan, one that's developed great skill over time. Could you guys quiet it down a little bit back there? Just a little. And to attain wisdom means you attain skill, to have skill, to put into practice skills. So wisdom means to have skill. And we would ask the question in the sense of Proverbs, skill for what? Skill for living. You want to know how to live, study the Proverbs. It's God's revealed truth to us that we might know how to please God. So having wisdom or having the skill to live a life pleasing to God will come over time as you study, read, and think about the Proverbs. You can't work this, you can't work Proverbs quickly. You have to read it and think about it, chew on it, and work it slowly over time. It's knowledge plus experience over time that results in with the fruit of wisdom. And it's a life that's woven together over time and very slowly using the Proverbs as our guide and our counsel. Now, Exodus 28 provides a wonderful picture, and the Hebrew language is very picturesque, but it gives us a wonderful picture of this idea of God giving wisdom, because we can't have wisdom, we can't have a God-pleasing wisdom apart from God giving us a spirit of wisdom. Remember in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul said, "My prayer for you is that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would know him better." That wisdom, that you would develop knowledge and skill over time with experience, that you would know him better. Paul wasn't praying for the Ephesians to say, "My prayer is that you'll wake up tomorrow and the light bulb will come on and everything will make perfect sense for you." But it takes time. A good example of God giving a spirit of wisdom and the time it takes to gain expertise, or the time it takes to gain proficiency in the skill, we can look in Exodus chapter 28. So if you turn in your Bibles, Exodus 28, verses 1 through 5. God is telling Moses now about regarding this, the temple, the tabernacle, the furnishings for the temple and tabernacle, the garments for the priests, and so on. And verse 28, listen to this, chapter 28 rather, verses 1 through 5. "Have Aaron your brother brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so they may serve me as priests." So God was setting them aside to serve as priests. Then he says this, "Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled men to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, that he may serve me as a priest. These are the garments they are to make." And then he goes through what they are to do, but what they are to make for Aaron, that he can serve before God as the priest before the Lord on behalf of the people. But verse 3 is critical. It said, "Tell all the skilled men." He didn't say, "Tell these men and to make these things. I'm just going to pop the skill and the giftedness that takes to make this. I'm just going to give it to them right now," where they were fumbling, bumbling, clumsy people. Now all of a sudden they become skillful. He says, "Tell all the skilled men to whom I have given wisdom in such matters." Tell the experts, tell those people that are artisans and craftsmen who are able to dye wool or whatever the linen, the material, and able to weave it. Tell those that are experts at it. But he doesn't just call them experts. These are the ones I've given wisdom to, a spirit of wisdom. And over time, their knowledge plus their experience has yielded the fact that they're experts in their field. They've woven beautiful fabrics for years. It's not something that just came up all of a sudden. They had been given a spirit of wisdom by God. Now, interestingly enough, their livelihood depended on their skill. If you don't have skill at something, you know, if you don't know how to build a house, don't start building a house without knowing what you're doing. The best builders have been building for a long time. The best electricians have done electrical work for a long time. The best maintenance men, whatever the case was, whatever your occupation, if you've done it for several years, you're probably becoming very skilled at it. And these men had been given much skill, and it was because God gave them a spirit of wisdom. And that wisdom proved to be very practical. It was something that they were able to do and make a living. This wisdom that God gives through the Proverbs is a skill necessary for living. And it's truth for life, truth for living, living a life pleasing to God. The whole aim is that you would attain wisdom, attain skill. I don't know that we can truly know how to live in a God-pleasing way apart from the Proverbs. Every single verse drips with the purpose of attaining wisdom. Our compacted truth, it's big truth compacted in a short, pithy saying. It does resemble this, the weavers, and the fact that they were weaving tapestry, weaving garments. Our lives are much like a garment. Every day a new thread is added into it. Every day you have experiences, and you might say, well, they're good experiences or bad experiences, but as you grow in wisdom, you see the hand of God at work in your life, and you begin attaining wisdom. God gives a spirit of wisdom, so over time, those who seek after God and know Him and want to know His heart, want to please Him, truly do grow and attain in wisdom. Every day you'll find a new thread woven into your garment of your life. Have you ever thought of how long it would take? And how many of you like the, what is the, is it Egyptian cotton? What is the cotton sheets you always like to get? Is it Egyptian? And so you have like 10,000 threads per square inch. 400, 500, 600 threads per inch. That would take a long time, and our lives are even more fine than that. God is refining our lives, and it's much more complex than even a garment. But life, this growing in life, the growing in wisdom, is a slow, arduous, painful task. Proverbs provides these tightly compacted truths so that we can live a life of beauty. The prerequisite for living a life pleasing to God is that you know God. You have to know Him through faith in Jesus Christ. The world cannot know Him and know this wisdom because they do not know God. So first let it be said that it has, for this wisdom to be attained, you have to have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, these tightly compacted truths will yield nothing more than just perhaps a whimsical thought at the moment that all is well with you. I don't know. But to live a life of beauty, it takes time, and it's oftentimes painful. We could only see our lives as God sees them. You imagine that if we could just, and that's what faith is for, that we could try to see our lives as God sees them from the viewpoint of eternity. What would be the results of the trials, the temptations, the tribulations you go through, the chastisements, the number of times doors opened in your life, the times that doors closed in your life, and all the tragedies that you've lived through. If we could see those things through God's eyes from the viewpoint of eternity, it would make all the difference. Proverbs aids us in doing just that, to see life from God's perspective in the sense of the wisdom He gives us is for our growth and our sanctification, that we can end this life being satisfied, that we lived a life pleasing to God. All the trials and temptations, all the tragedies, all the chastisements are there to enable God to knock off the rough edges. If you don't have wisdom and you don't grow in wisdom and discipline, you'll never have the rough edges knocked off. If they are knocked off, you're going to see it as a personal attack against you. If by faith you would trust God that through the trials, temptations, tragedies, open doors, shut doors, disappointments, all the things that cause pain, if you could see those things through God's eyes, He's knocking off the rough edges. You could embrace the pressures of life, the extreme pressures you feel, the disappointments you feel at times, as God's skillful, perfect, skillful chipping away, carving away at your life. Painful as it might be, you might then begin to see what He's doing. And ultimately, God is forming Christ in you. Proverbs goes a long way to practically teach us how He's forming Christ in us. In fact, when you read Proverbs, I think it's fair to say where the name God is used or the Lord is used, you can substitute the name Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. We have gained this wisdom. Chapter 1, verse 2 tells us that these proverbs are for attaining wisdom, but they're also for attaining discipline. Now, to attain discipline, it's an inner requirement. You have to want discipline. And most of us, by nature, do not want discipline. We'll run from it. Children will prove that over and over and over. When you start to get on them, they're going to either run or try to or think about it. They're going to cross their arms and put their head down. They're going to not like it. But by nature, we don't like discipline. By nature, we're oftentimes afraid to provide discipline for fear it'll hurt their feelings. God in the Proverbs is not afraid of neither. He's not afraid of giving discipline, and He's not afraid of your response to it. These compacted truths say what they got to say, and they say it very clearly for our good. And we can know how to live a life pleasing to God. Proverbs are perfect when it comes to teaching and training children, because it's not you who's saying it, it's God who's saying it. And if a child or an adult has a problem with what it says here, they've got to take it up with God. God is giving wisdom so you can have skill to live, truth for life. Discipline always looks forward to the future. Discipline always looks forward to the future. God is looking forward to the future where we are conformed to the image of Christ. No one seeks after it often, but the Bible teaches us to look for, to want, to desire to be under the discipline of God. One of Trevor's favorite chapters is Hebrews chapter 12. It speaks about discipline, for instance. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but in the end, what does it do? Yields fruit. Fruit that pleases God. The psalmist, Psalm 141, verse 5, I think it is, the psalmist says, "Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It's oil for my head. My head won't refuse it." That psalmist was wise. And David was the psalmist, and he taught his son wisdom through these pithy sayings. And Solomon, he begins writing them down as he learned them and as he thought about them. But it's only as we are disciplined, only as we undergo the discipline of the Lord, will we truly be free. Think about how bound our society is today, how bound the world is, bound to sin, bound to folly, bound to foolishness and simplicity. Rather than free to abound in the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ. The world has rejected the wisdom of God. May it never be that Christians reject the wisdom of God. But when we set aside the Proverbs, truth for life, you can be sure of this. You will become crippled in your spiritual development. Proverbs can be a daily part of your life. To read the Proverbs, today is, what is today's date? May 20th. You can read Proverbs chapter 20. Tomorrow's May 21st. Read Proverbs chapter 21. And if you choose not to read the entire chapter, pick out your five favorite verses and chew on those through the day. And over a lifetime, you'll become so familiar with Proverbs, when problems come up, you'll be able to resort back to your memory and to your memory of the Proverbs. You've developed the skill to live. You ever notice people that are great at something that they do? It's not always the most talented people that make the best achievers, but it's oftentimes those who work very hard at it. Take a piano player. If somebody that's a really good piano player may have great natural abilities, but they may not have. There's a lot of people with a lot of talent that's sitting around doing nothing. There's a lot of people that have potentially great lives to live for God, but they sit around and they do nothing to grow in wisdom. They do nothing to develop the skill of living. John Piper wrote a book called Don't Waste Your Life. And that book covers the folly of living a life where you have not applied wisdom, but instead you sought after your own desires, your own wants, your own appetites, your own pleasures, rather than seeking to attain wisdom and discipline. I love gymnastics. I just think it's the greatest sport ever. But it is one of the most difficult, as any sport really, but it's just amazing to see people that are great at it were not necessarily the most talented. But while everyone else was running off watching TV or playing games or goofing off, eating Big Macs all day long, some gymnast somewhere was in a lonely gym working out over and over and over. My boss at the gym, he and I were in gymnastics together. When practice was over, I would go home. When practice was over, he would stay practicing. He was taller than anyone, and a tall person doesn't make a good gymnast. He was told oftentimes, you're too tall. But he loved gymnastics. And when everyone would go home, he would still be practicing. When he got home, he would still be practicing. When he went to college at Indiana State, mandatory 3 hours practice, that's all I could take. He would be in there 6 to 8 hours a day practicing gymnastics. 40 years later, he's coaching kids how to do gymnastics. He has become wise. He's attained wisdom through discipline. And by this, and attained wisdom and discipline as well. So discipline is absolutely essential. You can't escape this life and develop a true skill for living apart from discipline. You have to train your body. Trevor talks about, if you ever want to see something great, come to the Gospel Martial Arts Union on Thursday evenings, 6:30, right? He teaches these children how to discipline their bodies, oftentimes referring to the verse Paul used, and that is, I beat my body, making it a slave. You've got to make your body a slave to this desire to grow in wisdom. If you don't, you will grow up and be the fool of Proverbs. Proverbs sets aside the foolish and the wise, the simple and the wise. And it tells us oftentimes how to learn the truth, what is wise, by looking at the folly of the fool. And if you're teaching your children the Proverbs, it's the most wonderful way for you to interact with your children. Children love to role play. And you can do a lot of role play when you're in Proverbs. What would the fool who gives full vent to his anger sound like? Because the Proverbs tell us the fool gives full vent to his anger. So what's the wisdom in that? What's the compacted truth? What's the truth for life? What's the simple message? Don't give full vent to my anger. What does the world tell us to do? Vent. The Bible says, don't pour out your heart before the Lord. Let him take up your cause. But when you're role-playing at home, what would the fool giving full vent to his anger sound like or look like? It's amazing how much you'll see yourself reflected back through your children's role-play. You think, I am at times living like a fool. Proverbs are great for role-playing. They have to be taken slowly. You can't just read through the Proverbs and say, for instance, for attaining wisdom, discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring discipline and prudent life, for giving prudence, let the wise... You cannot read that like that. Well, you have to be deliberate and slow and ponder it very, very carefully. You just have to. Proverbs becomes a portable truth then, much more than almost any other part of the scripture. For when you see the fool giving full vent to his anger, what's the first thing you can think? Oh, remember that. The fool gives full vent to his anger. What's that saying? Ultimately, it's saying you live a life more pleasing to God when you live circumspectly before the Lord. And you control yourself. Control your body. Don't give in to your urges every second. The Bible and the Proverbs teach us wonderful, pithy sayings that are easy to remember, that are to be put to memory. For instance, we can hear principles all day long, and you might remember a few principles that you've heard over the years, but the Proverbs say it more clearly, and oftentimes in a very funny way. Let's look at a principle. A good principle is this. Doing a good deed at the wrong time ruins a good deed. Doing a good deed at the wrong time ruins a good deed. That's a pretty good principle. But listen how the Proverbs teaches that. Proverbs 27, verse 14 is worth looking at. 27:14. Listen how salty this is. If a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. That's humorous, salty, prickly, and the whole bit. You can enjoy reading the Proverbs because it's not a principle. A principle can be taken. We're oftentimes easily offended. Doing good at the wrong time ruins a good deed. It's almost like a scolding. But the Proverbs draws me into it. If a man loudly blesses his neighbor, you can just imagine yourself laying in bed and your neighbor saying, "You're the most wonderful neighbor I could ever have. I love you." Be like, "Shut up. Where'd you come from? You might as well be a dog barking right outside the bedroom window." But you see, you can think about that thing. So there's a time and a place for everything. When someone's grieving, for instance, it may not be the best time to go up to them and say, "You know, I was thinking about you yesterday, and I remember that time we were down at the store and you bought me a bottle of pop." They're like, "What does that have to do with what I'm going through right now?" You know, there's application that drips out of this that you can't say, well, there's one application. You can take this portable truth into every area of your life. There's just verse after verse after verse. Here's a proverb. Good principle would be confess your sins. Always keep a short account. But listen to Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but he who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. That is a compacted truth that teaches us a multitude of application. And these proverbs are sharp. Oftentimes they're very quick to the point. And you can just read any off your page right now, and any page, and you can mark these. I got notes all through mine. Because when I was in counseling training, they were counseling, how do you counsel someone who struggles with anger? And they looked into all of us in the room and said, most of you have at some point, if not now, struggle with anger. And the Proverbs is all over this about anger. And you can just read on and read on and read on and gain from the Proverbs most wonderful things. The Proverbs are quoted in the New Testament. And they've been given a wide range of application. If you look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, you can see what the proverb says. 10:12 says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers a multitude of sins. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, you can see that Peter has quoted this verse as well. And see how Peter uses it in chapter 4, verse 8. Peter is focusing on brotherly love. Here's what he says, chapter 4, verse 8. We'll start at verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And love covers a multitude of sins. It's so simple. He is applying the proverb of love covering a multitude of sins to brotherly love. If you truly love one another as brothers, you're not going to be offended quickly. You are going to let love cover over a multitude of faults. Doesn't mean if there is an actual sin that you're going to overlook it in the sense of just, forget about it. But you're not going to be offended at every point. James, James writes to the believers in chapter 5, verse 20, and he uses this as well, and he says, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. James is looking at it from the standpoint of restoring an erring brother. How you do it? By persistent caring for, and he's talking about actually, whoever turns a sinner from his error would be exposing the sin. Here's your sin, here's your problem, but you're saving them from death and in essence covering over a multitude of sins. When your sins are forgiven, you are forgiven. When you come to faith in Christ, nothing is held against you ever, ever, ever again. A multitude of sins are covered over. So James looks at it from the standpoint of restoring someone, and Peter's looking at it from the standpoint of brotherly love. And so it shows us just in those two usages of that one proverb that there's many, many different ways that we can apply it. Proverbs won't tell you every detail. You get to chew on it, think about it, talk about it for a lifetime. They won't tell you everything you want to hear, but they will steer you in the right direction that you may grow in the skill of life, living life pleasing to God. Proverbs warn, Proverbs instruct, they expose folly. You read through it, and you're probably going to see yourself. But God's work in our lives as believers is to grow us up. Proverbs is there for our sanctification. And we can read the epistles. They're intended for our sanctification. They're intended to cause worship. But the Proverbs are so, it is the manual, the field manual for our sanctification. They're going to show you how things generally work. There might be an occasional exception to the rule, but generally, Proverbs, by giving particular examples, teach us general truths of how things will work out. If you ignore God, you will live a life of folly. If you forsake the wife of your youth, if you lash out in your anger, if you lie, if you stir up dissension, whatever the case would be, generally the outcome will be negative. And you sure won't live a life pleasing to God. So I'd encourage you that you would spend a little time every day in the Proverbs. Even if it's just one verse, spend a little time. And Lord willing, over the next week anyway, we'll look at Proverbs, and maybe we'll go on a little bit further. And I hope that you'll see Proverbs in a new way, as it is skill for living, truth for life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Proverbs. We thank you for these pithy sayings that are compacted truth, that we might grow and look more like Jesus, being conformed to his image. Teach us how to relate to one another as we study the Proverbs. Teach us how it pleases you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.